2 Timothy 2, 8 through 13. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. In 1991, Steve Feltham gave up everything. He had a lucrative career with his family's business, a house, a serious girlfriend of several years, and he left it all. Left his job, sold his house, ended his relationship, all so that he could be a full-time Loch Ness monster hunter. And so for the past 33 years, he has lived by Loch Ness, searching for a myth. Well, we all have a life to use. Time, money, skills, our very selves in relationship. And we all must decide how we are to use it. Well, we are continuing our sermon series here in 2 Timothy. And if you missed last week, Paul tells Timothy to be disciplined like an athlete, to be diligent like a farmer, and to suffer like a good soldier. And Timothy is to suffer in this way for the sake of gospel ministry. Specifically, the ministry of entrusting the gospel to faithful men who will pass the gospel on to others. But why? Why should Timothy use up his life so that gospel ministry continues to spread and grow? Why should we sacrifice this for the sake of the gospel, suffering like a good soldier, being disciplined like an Olympic athlete, and being diligent like a farmer? Why should we use up our lives for Jesus? Well, in today's text, Paul gives us three gospel-focused motivations for gospel ministry. Three encouragements that should steel our backbones and put passion in our guts for suffering for the sake of gospel ministry. Those three reasons are because of the person of the gospel, who is Christ Jesus, the purpose of the gospel, which is unstoppable, and the promises of the gospel. We should be motivated to suffer for gospel ministry because of the person of the gospel, the purpose of the gospel, and the promises of the gospel. Person, purpose, and promises. So first, why should we sacrifice for gospel ministry? Because of the person of the gospel, Jesus Christ. Starting in verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Paul wants us to remember. And this remembering is not simply mental recall. It's not like trying to remember the answer on a test. This is the kind of remembering that motivates us, that changes the way that we act in a moment. It changes our perspective and even how we feel. It's like when I'm leaving my house and I'm halfway to my car, and then I remember I left the stovetop on. That thought does not come to my mind like an indifferent fact. It comes with a shot to my gut, and I instantly turn back around and run back in the house. Paul doesn't want us to simply recall correct information. He wants us to dwell on truth, specifically on the person of Jesus Christ. But what about Jesus does Paul want us to remember, to dwell on, so that we are motivated towards sacrificial gospel ministry? The Jesus who was risen from the dead and the offspring of David. You see, Jesus is God. Scripture says that all of creation was made through him. But Jesus humbled himself by becoming a man to rescue us from our sin and death. And he went to the cross in humility and suffered a brutal death for our sin in our place. But that is not the end of the story. Jesus also rose from the dead because he so fully paid the price for our sin that death could not hold him. And he rose victorious, a conqueror over sin and death. Paul is not calling Timothy to remember only our sacrificial Savior. Paul wants us to see Jesus, the conqueror of death. Paul also wants us to see Jesus, the offspring of David. There are many Old Testament promises about the coming Messiah, but one of the most noteworthy is the promise that was made to David in 2 Samuel 7. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. The coming Messiah would be one from David's line who would be a king with a kingdom that would never end. Paul wants us to be thinking about Christ as the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the promised king whose reign will never end. Christ is the one who suffered for the salvation of others, but did not stay dead, but rose from the dead, victorious over sin and death. And he is now the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the long-awaited king to come and reign over a kingdom eternally. And this is the Jesus that is preached in Paul's gospel. When Paul says gospel, he means the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the message that our sin both separates us from God and earns eternal punishment from God in hell. But God in love sent his son Jesus to do the unimaginable. Jesus lived the sinless life with God that we were supposed to live. And then he went to the cross, and all of our sin was counted onto him. And all the justice and punishment that sin earned was placed on his shoulders. So that now, for all who trust in Jesus as their Savior, their sins are forgiven. They are no more. Eternal life is given freely to those who trust in Jesus. And after 3 days, Christ rose from the dead, a conqueror of sin and death. He ascended into heaven, not figuratively, but physically. Jesus is alive. Right now, in the throne room of heaven, there is a God sitting on his throne, ruling and reigning all that goes on in this world, controlling everything from the stars of different distant galaxies to the minute details of your life. And this ruling God has holes in his hands where he died to rescue you. This is the Jesus Paul wants us to remember as we struggle and suffer for the sake of gospel ministry. Not a God who is indifferent or weak, but a God who loves us, conquered death for us, rules and reigns as the promised king. So why should this Jesus motivate us to suffer for the sake of gospel ministry? Paul himself says here in verse 9 that it is for this gospel that he is suffering, bound with chains like a criminal. What motivation does this Jesus give us? Well, first, it reminds us that Jesus too suffered for the gospel. More than that, his suffering is the gospel. To suffer for the sake of the gospel is to walk a road our God has already tread. And second, the God who rules all things from heaven deeply loves you. Paul was in chains for the sake of the gospel, but it was not Rome who ultimately had power and authority. It was Jesus, conqueror of death, fulfillment of the Old Testament, King of heaven. As you suffer for the sake of gospel work, remember in the mind of your heart this Jesus, scarred with the marks of his crucifixion, seated on the throne of heaven. But the person of Christ is not the only motivation that Paul gives us to bolster our resolve to suffer for the sake of the gospel. Paul also calls us to remember the purpose of the gospel. Starting again in verse 8, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The spiritual giant who is Paul is waiting in prison to be executed, and he has nothing left. How does he do it? What is motivating him to lose everything for the sake of the gospel? He might be bound, but the word of God, the gospel, is not bound. Therefore, he endures everything for the sake of the elect. Preachers and teachers, evangelists and servants have been persecuted, imprisoned, and killed. Christian writings have been destroyed. Laws have been put in place to persecute God's people. Churches have been attacked and destroyed. And still, the gospel continues to go forward, undaunted, rescuing people's souls. And it is because the gospel is unstoppable that Paul is willing to endure everything, including being imprisoned like a criminal for the sake of the elect, for those people chosen by God before the beginning of time to trust in Jesus. God is a God of infinite wisdom and power who has planned the destiny of all people. And even though all have chosen to turn their back on him, forsake him, and God would be just to give everyone the consequences their actions have earned, in mercy, he chose some to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, trust Jesus as their Savior, and receive the free gift of eternal life. Those are the elect, chosen by God. Some of you might be wondering whether you are one of God's elect. Well, the elect are those who trust in Jesus. So if you trust in him, your faith was part of God's eternal plan for your life. And if you don't yet know Christ, I would encourage you, trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And step into God's eternal plan for your life. He wants you to believe. I know this truth is hard for some to hear, but I want to make sure that we don't lose sight of how Paul uses this truth in this passage. For Paul, the idea that the gospel is unstoppable and part of God's eternal plan to save the elect does not make Paul inactive. In fact, the opposite. It fills Paul with an unshakable motivation to spend his life, because the power of the gospel cannot be stopped. Paul endures everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So why is Paul motivated by the power of the gospel? Because Paul can't lose. No effort is ever wasted in pouring yourself out for gospel ministry. The gospel cannot be stopped, and the elect will be saved. Paul gets to play a part in God's eternal purpose of redemption. You and I might be limited and bound, but the gospel cannot be bound. It will go forward and rescue God's chosen people. Just like Paul, we are part of God's eternal plan to help some reach eternal glory through Jesus Christ. I'm sure many of you are familiar with J.R.R. Tolkien's trilogy, The Lord of the Rings. And if you're not familiar with his books, I am sure you are familiar with his movies. But those of you who aren't, Tolkien's story is not just an epic adventure fantasy. It is the epic adventure fantasy. It involves an evil dark lord, adventurers, kingdoms, wars, hardship, loss, perseverance, and victory. Over the past few weeks, I asked several of my friends if they could live through the events of Lord of the Rings, would they do it? Here were some of their answers. Yes. Easiest question of my life. Is that even a question? Absolutely. I would probably die, but totally. Something interesting about human beings is that not only are we willing to spend our lives on something bigger than ourselves, we crave it. We desire it. We are excited to use up our lives for something bigger and more meaningful than ourselves. Paul is trying to expand our vision of gospel ministry. It's not some mundane thing we do where we volunteer a few hours in this ministry or that. We are playing a part in God's eternal purpose to bring the unstoppable word of God to those who don't know Jesus yet, so they can join Christ in eternal glory. I promise you, in your wildest imagination, no story will lead to the kind of glory that God is leading you to. No story will involve working with God to bring his elect into their destiny of escaping darkness into eternal glory. What stories are you tempted to give your life to? As I've been thinking about the stories or adventures that we are tempted to give ourselves to, I think the greatest temptation here in Wheaton, Illinois, is the story of the American dream. A good degree, a good job, a spouse, financial freedom, a dog, 2.5 kids. And listen, all of those things are good and a blessing, but I think lurking beneath that dream is a hunger for prosperity and comfort. And if we are not careful, we will spend our lives pursuing affluence and the comforts they bring and do little to help along the purposes of God. Don't waste your life on something that will be forgotten in eternity. Use up your life in the adventure of being part of God's eternal plan to rescue his people by helping along the unstoppable gospel. So where can you spend more of yourself for the sake of the gospel? I know that many of you are already involved in gospel ministry here at the church. So I want to encourage you to see your ministry through this lens. You are working with God to bring about eternal purposes. Some of you have yet to get involved in any ministry. I just want to encourage you, start to volunteer and explore. We have so many ministries here at College Church. There has to be something you can give your time and your strength to. Others of us need to grow in devoting ourselves to more informal gospel ministry, encouraging our brothers and sisters in the faith to more and more growth, caring for those Christians that God has put in your life, evangelizing to those people we are afraid will judge us. Where can you join with God in the adventure of sacrificing for the purpose of the gospel? Suffer for the sake of the gospel by remembering Jesus Christ, by remembering the purpose of the gospel, and lastly, by remembering the promises of the gospel. Paul continues to just heap up motivation for Timothy in verses 11 through 13. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we also will live with him. If we endure, we also will reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Paul recites a saying that was known in the early church that is packed with four gospel promises meant to encourage Timothy to pour out his life for gospel ministry. And these statements all revolve around our deep union that we have with Christ. You see, it's not just that our sin was counted onto Christ on the cross and his perfect righteousness was counted onto us, but we are united with Christ, such that our destinies with him are intertwined. Christ's death counted as our death. Christ's resurrection counted as our resurrection. We will live into eternity because Christ will live into eternity. As Colossians 3 says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." This is very similar to the saying in verse 11. If we died with him, we will also live with him. When you trusted in Christ, your old self was crucified with Christ on the cross. According to heaven, you died. But Christ has also been raised, so too you have the promise of resurrection. Similarly, in verse 12, Paul reminds us that if we endure with Christ, we will reign with him. In eternity, God will give privileged positions to his people. Listen to this just frankly astounding promise Jesus gives to Christians in Revelation 3:21. To the one who conquers, it's another way of saying to the one who endures, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. To those who endure to the end, Christ has promised rule and authority in his heavenly kingdom. So how do these points help us suffer for gospel ministry? Christ has already promised life and honor to you in the gospel. They are already yours. So don't shrink from that gospel when faithfulness to it costs you. Life and honor are already yours in the gospel. Don't waste your efforts chasing it in other places. In the third line, Paul encourages us to stay faithful in gospel ministry by giving us a warning. If we deny him, he also will deny us. This is almost a direct quote of Jesus' own words in Matthew 10. Whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. So what does it mean to deny Christ? It means to renounce Christ as your God and Savior, to turn your back on him, to abandon him. And Paul wants to protect us from the dangers of leaving Christ. If in the midst of using your life for gospel ministry, you are tempted to leave Christ, don't do it. Don't turn from him. Don't leave all the love and blessing that you have in him, for he will deny you. But what if we do sin? What if we do struggle? What if we do falter as we seek to spend our lives for the sake of gospel ministry? Paul gives us one last encouragement to Timothy. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. What is the difference between denying and faithfulness? I think to deny is to turn away totally from grace. But to be faithless is to sin and respond by turning toward grace. To deny is to have a heart that leaves grace behind. To be faithless is to have a heart that stumbles and seeks God's grace. God has gone to great lengths to offer forgiveness to you. He is not put out or tired of forgiving you. He loves it. He longs to do it. He wants to apply his saving grace to you. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. God does not forgive you because you are especially good at repenting. God is faithful because that is his nature, and he does not change. His nature is unwavering. Don't ever think that your sin has the power to change the nature of God, as if this time was finally one time too many. As often as you turn to God through faith in Christ, God will have forgiveness for you. So spend yourself in gospel ministry. Paul spent his life to get the gospel to the elect, to you. Timothy spent his life to get the gospel to the elect. Countless Christians throughout history have poured out their lives to move the unstoppable gospel along. Who in your life has sacrificed to get the gospel to you? Who in your life is still spending their life so that you can know the gospel more deeply? Will you join them? Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, Son of David, ruling and reigning on his throne in heaven. Remember the purpose of God's word, unstoppable, saving God's elect in Jesus Christ for eternal glory. Remember the promises of God. If you have died with Christ, you will rise with him. If you endure, you will reign. Don't turn your back on his grace, for he will turn his back on you. But Christian, if you are faithless, he will remain faithful to you. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I praise you that you are God of all peace and comfort. And I praise you that you don't let us sit idle, purposeless, with no meaning. I thank you that you call us to a grand adventure to be a part of your eternal purposes. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would stir up in everyone's hearts in here a hunger and a desire and an excitement to see your gospel go farther, to go deeper into people's hearts, and to join the grand adventure with you. I thank you. I pray this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.